Ask the Pastor Hour. 505-780-5180-730-2727. I'm Chuck Rather. Pastor Randy Wilkin is here, pastor at Church of the Rock, down on King's Highway, right?
That's it.
And also, what are you, chairman, El Presidente, the Acts 1-8 Mission
CEO.
Society?
CEO.
CEO.
/ president of the Acts 1-8 Mission Society.
And as Pastor Wilkin was arriving, Pastor Walter was leaving, they had this little United States Marine moment there. Now, I'm still in the room, you have to understand. I'm still in the studio, but I might as well have been, you know, in Virginia or something.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, it was just kind of an interesting thing to see the camaraderie there, just because you guys are former Marines.
Yeah. Oh, not former Marine.
I'm sorry.
Marine, period. So Semper once five. A Marine, that's right, always Marine.
What was I thinking?
That's correct.
Why is that? You're not a Marine.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah, we'll be till the day of day. Yeah. Till the day the Lord calls me home.
Why do you say that?
Because that's just, it's the way that you're brought up. That's the way the Marine Corps is organized, and you stay in, you know, it's a lifetime thing. Because once you've gone through boot camp, by the way, I don't know if you know this, every single Marine, officers included, are all trained by the same drill instructors. So this is the camaraderie, whether you're enlisted or officer, you all had the same training by these drill instructors. So even this colonel that we're talking about had been trained, had to go through boot camp just like we did by these drill instructors.
This colonel that he makes reference to is a man who achieved colonel in the Marine Corps and who is now enrolled here at Concordia Seminary and wants to be a pastor. And, you know, this just shows you how much I thought. When I think of colonel, I think of Kentucky Fried Chicken, you know.
I will tell him that.
But both of these guys, Pastor Wilkin and Pastor Walder, are just, I could just see it by looking at them. They are just absolutely in awe because this man who is on the campus here at Concordia Seminary is a colonel.
Mm-hmm.
Full bird, they said. I said, what's a full bird? I'm thinking Thanksgiving next week, a full bird. So now we've got Colonel Sanders and Thanksgiving, and you can see that I'm just way out of the arena here.
Mm-hmm.
You make colonel in the Marine Corps.
That's something to write home. Yep, that's right. Something to write home about. Absolutely.
So I don't want to pry into this man's personal life. I said I said to both of the pastors, I said, well, I'd like to get him on the radio. So he's going to talk to him, see maybe if he'd be interested in doing something like that. But it would seem to me, using the intuitive skills of my otherwise crippled imagination, the Marine Corps, colonel, one step removed from general, top down, no questions, spit shines.
Yep.
That is not very consistent with a bottom-up priesthood of all believers Christianity. Mm-hmm. I would think that it's so incompatible, the two identities are so incompatible, that it's a chasm that can't be covered.
That's, wow. You nail it. Because the first thing I think of is somebody that's going to come in and demand respect from everybody, and I'm going to run a tight ship here, and you're going to do what I tell you to do. And I want you to meet this man who just, wow, he's taken everything that he had, and he's just emptied it. You know, here's what I attained to. Not even anything close to comparison to what God is doing now.
I'm trying to imagine this gentleman or anybody who has followed this kind of a course in his life.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about the Marine Corps here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm very well informed on this. I've seen the commercials.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, very impressive commercials. We're talking about a man who understands that once he enters the parish, the general is sitting at the right hand of the throne of God.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows what the orders are.
Uh-huh.
He studied them and learned them in the original languages here at Concordia Seminary. Uh-huh. Now he's got some snot-nosed kid and his girlfriend sitting in front of him, and they've been living together for the last 2 years, and they want the blessing of God at the holy altar there.
Uh-huh.
I'm thinking that the colonel is not gonna have a very easy moment there.
Uh-huh.
Am I wrong?
Actually, when you talk to this man, I have great encouragement. Not because he's so strong, not because he made it to be a colonel in the Marine Corps. It's that this humbling, I'm going to the level, not lowering myself, but going to where they're at. And I want to walk with them, and I want to find ways to make them understand, because they're blinded by the world. And to sit and to have patience to do that with somebody, I'm very, very encouraged.
Well, it's funny how some of these things work out. And again, I wish that I could describe better for our listeners what it was like for me to watch you, a Marine, not a former Marine, a Marine, interact with Pastor Walther, a Marine, and the clear identity that you share, which, like, made you guys brothers right here before my eye. It was an amazing kind of a thing. So one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about today is the gospel reading that some people are going to be hearing in church on Sunday. You know, pastors have their options where they can go, but there are such the things as assigned readings, and some people are going to hear Matthew 25. Now, I'm going to read this, Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. It's a little bit lengthy, but it's one of my favorite passages. It begins, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?' The king will reply, 'I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me.' Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me.' They also will answer, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?' He will reply, 'I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me.' Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. I ask myself, can a military man, a Marine, does he have an advantage in understanding this passage? Because you know what it's like to stand before the commanding officer, or maybe the full bird colonel or the general. And when the general stands before the company and gives an order, that's it, brother. And there isn't anybody there who says, I don't think I want to do that. Or, Colonel, can we talk about this? We really don't think that's a good idea right now. We'd like to maybe... See, that's just outside of the realm of our thinking. However, there are lots of people who think that on Judgment Day, they're going to cut a deal. They're going to talk their way out of the ticket, if you will, or any of those things that they use to try to work their way out of their various situations in life. Do you have an advantage as a military man understanding Matthew 25?
I'm going to say yes. And I was going to say no at the beginning when you
but
started
you changed
talking.
Your mind.
Oh, I changed my mind.
Why?
Because I go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and it says this. And it's basically Paul talking to Timothy, endure hardship with us, like a good soldier of Christ. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Now, I tell you what, that's what we do. We don't ask questions. We don't second guess. This colonel was put in place in this position not because he's got a lot of friends. It's because he is a good, well, I'm going to call it a good Marine. All right? That's what he's good at. So now somebody has placed him in this authority. I don't question his authority because it came from above. So now it comes to this man. This man is now commanding me, and I'm trusting him. And the thing is, that's what I have to do. I have to put my life into his hands, and I'm going to trust him with my life. Can he make a mistake? As a human, he can make a mistake.
Now,
but go ahead.
This is a fascinating thing, as you can imagine. I did not serve in the military, so I cannot identify with this, which is why I'm kind of in awe to see the bond that you have with Pastor Walters, simply because you're both Marines. But this doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. Knowing what I know about human beings, particularly American human beings, at this time in our history, where everything is organized about the elevation of ourselves, and we actually will harm other people and feel we have the right to do it, such as unborn children, for example, and actually feel quite liberated and good about it. It seems like, following that logic, that when you and Pastor Walter greet each other here in Studio A, that you would say something like, "Oh, I tell you, it's good to be away from that stuff. I tell you that not being able to have any opinions and not being able to have any input, I was so glad when that was over, and I'm never going back." Now, that's what it seems like you ought to say. But instead, you guys have something that I don't have and can't have. You have a camaraderie. You have a kind of a fellowship and a brotherhood that, frankly, I wish we could see in some churches somewhere. It seems like it ought to be there. You got it from the Marines. What's going on here?
Okay. Here is something that is the truth, and you talk to any Marine that's ever been in combat. The Marine Corps is something very, very different. That colonel, you know, here's this guy, everybody, you know, we all respect him because he's had to work hard, he's diligent, he's disciplined, and he made it all the way up to here. I'm going to follow him. Here is the truth. You get into combat, or what we call in the field. So us peacetime Marines, I never went to combat, but us peacetime Marines, you know, experienced it, which is when you're in the field. Do you know who gets, if there's new boots, do you know who gets them first? The private. The colonel makes sure that the lieutenant colonel gets everything that he needs. The lieutenant colonel makes sure the major has everything that he needs, and then the captain, et cetera, and it goes all the way down. It's not this trickle-down, you know, effect. It's actually truly, my guys are going to be fed. They're going to get fed first. As a matter of fact, when this colonel comes in here, and I'm not mentioning his name.
Well,
because,
now don't commit him, man. We probably should talk to him.
He is going to come in here because I'm just so in awe. He said, and I've seen it done. I make sure that the guys have food first. They eat first. There are times when I will go without eating because my men get taken care of first. If there's nothing left when I'm ready to eat, that's too bad. Then I don't eat. Hold on. Sorry.
That's not the colonel calling that.
No, that's what I was checking to make sure. But anyways, you make sure you are a servant. You are the colonel, the general, et cetera. You're the servant of all these guys. You make sure they're taken care of first.
Well, that's actually, in its own way, quite biblical.
You got it. And the Marine Corps is what taught me that. And this colonel reminded me of it. And when I get together with Pastor Walter, he was a Lance Corporal. I was a Staff Sergeant, Gunnery Sergeant. Now we got this Colonel. But we're all on the same page. We all have experienced the same things we've experienced. We need to be servants. And a lot of times our pastors go out wanting to be honored. They're going into a church, and I want people to honor me. And, you know, on Sunday I get the best
respect
seat.
Respect the rank.
You got it. And that's not what we were ever taught. You take care of the guys. Then the reciprocal comes when you're in garrison or barracks, when you're out of combat. The privates all stand aside for the lance corporals, and they stand aside for the corporals, and it goes all the way up. When that colonel walks in, man, people stand up and stand aside, Not because they have to, but because they want to.
505-7850-1-800-730-2727 if you'd like to join our conversation. Hi, Phil. You're on the Bible study.
Hello. I have a brother. His name is Ralph, and he's a sergeant in the Army. And he's been in Desert Storm, but since then he's been in the United States. And months ago, they told him that they was going to train him for a new job and send him over to Iraq. And, you know, so he's been away from his family for a while training. And he's a Christian, and him and I have been talking. And he said, you know, I feel kind of uneasy about leaving because, you know, my stepdaughter is on drugs and, you know, she's not in church, and his blood daughter, they're both adults, and she's not in church either. And he says his wife is kind of, doesn't really like to go to church too much. And so him and I have been praying about this, and, you know, our church has been praying about it for a long time. But about 30 days ago, he calls me and he says, I got great news. You know, he says, my stepdaughter's off of drugs and in church. My wife is just faithful to the church now. And my other daughter came in, and he was just so overwhelmed and excited and that God did this for him, you know, to give him peace of mind before he left. And because he's a witness wherever he goes, you know, and I know God's going to use him over there. And last night I was talking to him, and he was going from one part of the United States to another, so he's preparing to leave. And we were talking, and he was in the airport, and he said, somebody wants to talk to me, so he hung up, and he called me right back, and he said, it was American Airlines. And he said, they told me they wanted to bump me up to first class as an appreciation. So, I just share that with you.
You know what? As we get a lot of unfortunate, difficult news as it pertains to veterans in the military. Mm-hmm. It's I appreciate you sharing that positive, encouraging story.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Thank you, Phil. What was going through your mind as you listened to that?
Prayer. When you started talking about prayer, you know, here I am. I'm going to go serve. I'm going to go serve my country, but yet I'm leaving behind a wife and children that, wow, they need me. And the reality is, and this is so awesome of how God works, he says, you know, I might take you home. Don't worry about your children. I got them. Not that you don't have to do anything for them. You are praying for them, and you are diligently praying that they come back to church, and they come into a relationship with God. And that's his prayer. And here's God saying, I'm taking care of you. You know, even when you're gone, I have your kids. Do what I have for you to do.
You know, it's a funny thing how different episodes in life come together and then give you a little bit more clarity than you had before. Veterans Day having been this past week.
Mm-hmm.
And there were the usual Veterans Day type things that were making the rounds on the internet, you know, send this on to your...
Mm-hmm.
One of them was a picture that I had seen before that came to me, and it said, if ever a picture was worth a million words, this is it. Then you scroll down. You may have seen this, I don't know, but I can almost barely speak it, but it was a picture of a survivor of Pearl Harbor, a very elderly man with his cap, I think it was a Legion cap maybe, embracing a Marine who had his arm around this old man, but the Marine didn't have a hand anymore. His hand was gone. It was obvious that one of his eyes was not functioning. He was blind in one eye. And the verbiage associated with this picture said he also had lost a leg here recently in combat. And both men have been through hell. And this embrace said it all. And I look at it, and I know it's powerful, but I can't identify with it because I haven't seen combat. I don't know what these men have been through. There's no way I can know. But I got a glimpse of it. Here in Studio A, with you and Pastor Walder, and now you said that you know you haven't been in combat, you haven't obviously lost an eye or a hand or a leg, but you served, and that's what those men had in common. They've served, and I just wish there were a way that we could share that with people a little bit better. I don't know how to do it. Do you have any ideas? I mean, Veterans Day has passed. All right, you know, Veterans Day has passed. Now we go back to the usual stuff. Thanksgiving's up next. You know, forget about the veterans. They're in our rearview mirror now.
One of the reasons why I got out of the Marines, I was in the regulars for 4 years and loved it, absolutely loved it, but I got married. Because one of the things that they would do was send you overseas for a one-year unaccompanied tour. So you go overseas without your wife and without your children, and you'd be overseas for 1 year. Maybe they'd send you home after 6 months for a visit, but it was extremely difficult. And I said, I can't do that. I can't be away from my wife and children, so I got out, but I stayed in the reserves for the next 10 years. So total of 14 years. But one of the things that I found was these guys that would go overseas for a year, the families would get together, and they would, and there was a commonality. They're without their spouses, they're without, you know, fathers, et cetera, they're over. And they would get together and not just hunker down together, but they would lift one another up, encourage one another. They would have celebrations together. They would celebrate birthdays as large groups and while their spouses were overseas. Or the Marine Corps would send you off on what they call a float trip, because I was in the air wing, and all of a sudden that you're on board ship for 8 or 9 months and your family's left behind. Your whole squadron goes. What happened is they would come together and support one another. That's how we can help with the, you know, these guys that are going overseas. Come together as family.
So what about this Matthew 25 passage here?
Mm-hmm.
It is pregnant with all kinds of things that we could talk about. But on this day,
mm-hmm.
apparently it's true. I say apparently because some of us are just not convinced that this could possibly be the way this apparently looks in Matthew 25. But apparently when Jesus gets to this moment, mm-hmm. the Matthew 25 moment, he's going to look at you.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to look at me. And he's going to say, you're a sheep, you're a goat,
mm-hmm.
you're a sheep, you're a goat,
mm-hmm.
sheep's over there, goat's over there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to be able to say, I am not a goat, I beg your pardon.
That's right.
I'm offended by that, I think uh-huh. it's intolerant. I'm not going to be able to say that.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to be a goat, and I got to stand over there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't get to say anything,
mm-hmm.
other than maybe scratching my head like these people here. Well, I thought I was a pretty good guy.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
But there aren't any options.
Uh-huh.
Kind of like the Marines.
Uh-huh.
And the most chilling thing about this reading here, verse 46,
mm-hmm.
then they will go away
mm-hmm.
to eternal punishment.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't going to be any sneaking out.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't going to be any hiding, you know, with the sheep and somehow surprising God and saying, oh, I got in anyway. You know, there isn't going to be any of that.
That's right.
They will go away
mm-hmm.
to eternal punishment. The order has been given.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of chilling. But mm-hmm. maybe you as a military man, maybe that's familiar territory for you. I don't know.
Okay. We're in the military, and I know that if I do, here's my orders. And I follow all my orders, and I do exactly what I'm supposed to do.
These are orders.
Yeah.
Matthew 25.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. But now I know what I have to do. And I know that if I'm doing them, then I can go up to my superior officer and say, excuse me, you know, I've done all these things. I need to be promoted. I demand to be promoted. I'm a good Marine, whatever. And the officer will look at you and go, yeah, you're absolutely right. You've done all these things. That's great. Let's you know, promote you. And I see that we're out
yeah,
of
okay,
time.
Hold
and
your,
we're gonna pick up on this.
Hold your thought. I like that promotion stuff.
Yeah,
I want to hear about the promotion stuff.
There you go.
Pastor Randy Wilkin is here today, pastor of Church on the Rock on Kings Highway in St. Louis. Our Ask the Pastor guest, and we'll be right back.
I'm Diane.
And I'm Roland.
And on the next afternoon show, 3 to 5:45 on AM 850 KFUO.
Our Friday favorite, which is Wordplay. At 4 o'clock.
With who?
Randy Wilkin from Acts 1-8 Mission Society.
Is he like a pastor person?
He's a pastor person.
So he knows about shepherds?
He does.
He does?
He's got a big old stick with a hook on the end of it.
Big.
And it's not for cleaning gutters, I know that.
Join us for the afternoon show, 3 to 5:45, Friday on AM 850 KFUO.
Mid-November typically makes people look both backward, reviewing a year that is coming to its end, and forward to a new year waiting out there not so far away. On the next Sing for Joy, you will hear music that helps you look with thanks to the past and with hope for the years to come. Join us.
Sunday at noon on AM 850 KFUO.
How smart is the human heart? Find out next on today's Creation Moment. And now, here's our Creation Moment's host, Ian Taylor.
People sometimes wonder why, with all the marvels that science can design and build, it cannot build a good replacement for the heart. As medical science learns more about the heart, it becomes clear that replacing this complex mass of muscles is more difficult than first thought. Your heart is about the size of your fist, really surprisingly small for the job it does. The heart is a pump with valves, tubing, and an electrical system. Its four chambers are carefully designed to make sure that used blood goes to your lungs for oxygen, and that blood from your lungs takes that oxygen to the rest of your body. But the heart is much more than a pump. Researchers describe it as an, quote, incredibly intelligent organ. When you need more circulation, it senses this and speeds its pumping action. It doesn't matter whether the need for more pumping action comes from increased exercise or something you've thought about, which might require more heart action. The heart therefore responds. Even when transplanted, the heart is able to respond to its new environment. Like everything else God has created, the heart is not a simple organ limited to only one job. The heart is custom designed to do many jobs well, and to this day, doctors cannot tell you why one apparently healthy heart stops beating and another does not. Life itself is more than just an organ. It is a gift of our Creator to each of us.
For a free copy of our Creation Resource Catalog, visit our website at creationmoments.com or call us toll-free at 1-800-42-BIBLE. And be sure to join us next time for another Creation Moment, proclaiming evidence of God's truth.
The day of judgment is coming. Let me ask, are you prepared? If Jesus is your Savior, that day will hold no fear, but instead will be filled with glorious gladness.
By his life, his suffering, death, and resurrection, Jesus gives forgiveness, hope, and heaven to all who believe.
Pastor Ken Klaus, this week on The Lutheran Hour.
Sundays at 12:30 and 5 p.m. on AM 850 KFUO.
Ah, snow days. An ideal time for relaxation and hot chocolate. Unless you're an Odyssey, of course. On the next Adventures in Odyssey, Alex is on a mission to get a batch of his mom's world-famous cookies safely to Grandma's house. Unfortunately, Rodney Rathbone and the Bones of Wrath are hot on his trail. Will Alex persevere? Find out on the next Adventures in Odyssey.
Saturday mornings at 8:30 on AM 850 KFUO.
About to get promoted, and then came the bottom of the hour break. So if I were in the Marines, I'd be a private?
You'd have to start.
Whoops, I got the wrong button pushed here. Go ahead.
You'd have to start out there.
I'd start out as a private.
Yep, start out as a private, then you go to private first class, and then Lance Corporal in the Marine Corps.
Okay. I don't think I'd make it that far.
No. Yeah. Well, I don't know.
Too much mouth.
Too much opinion.
Too much opinion. Yeah. In trouble all the time.
Well, here's where we were. Like I was saying, in the Marine Corps, you do the right things, you get promoted. And we know what we have to do. And here's the stuff that we have to do, and then you're going to get promoted to sergeant and staff sergeant and gunnery sergeant. I was an extremely young gunnery sergeant because I was doing the right stuff. But what I love with the passage here, now we can kind of compare that. If we do the right things, we're going to get promoted. That is now looking at myself. I'm doing this for myself. What the Marine Corps does is you can do all the right things, but if you're doing it for yourself and you're just, you know, self-motivated and you don't care about your fellow Marine, you don't get promoted, which is kind of amazing. And you need to be doing this stuff for the good of the Marine Corps. That's the attitude. Now, you go to this scriptural passage, and you're talking about, you know, okay, the sheep's and the goats, and, you know, you're a sheep, you're a goat, and there's no switching back and forth. What is amazing is when you start reading this passage, and it says, then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you?
When did we keep the orders?
Exactly. They don't even know they're doing it.
How do you explain that?
because it's not about us doing it. It's about God working through us. It's about Him and His faithfulness to us, not our faithfulness to Him. And He's going to work through us. And the least time that we can think that we're actually doing something good for somebody, or, well, God, you got to be happy with me right now. Just
the general Jesus is seeing to it the privates are taken care of.
Yeah, yeah. Here's the ones that need to be taken care of.
Is that an irreverent thing to say, what I just said there? Is that?
Nope. I don't think so.
Good.
Because it's just a comparison.
505-7850-1-800-730-2727. Let's see if Linda has something to add here. Hi, Linda. You're on the Bible study.
Hi, Brother Redford. Hi, Pastor.
Good morning.
Well, our son is a senior master sergeant in the Air Force. And like you said, he's getting together Thanksgiving dinner. He's going to fix it for all of his men that don't have families up there in Idaho. And he'll be leaving for Korea for a year in January. So I know, you know, what you're talking about, how they, I've seen how he takes care of his men. And, well, my husband, he is a Marine, though he's retired. He is a Marine like you. And he's the secretary of the auxiliary at the VFW. And I help them when they sell the poppies to support the veterans.
Mm-hmm.
And we stood out there 3 days last week, you know, selling these poppies. And I didn't think this time, with people hurting financially and the weather the way it was, I didn't think people would give, be able to give. And, you know, but they broke all records.
Mm-hmm.
They just kept giving, especially two young boys. I can't get them out of my mind. One, they gave, his mama gave, and I saw him digging in his pocket for his wallet when they left, and he walked back over to me and gave me $2 more out of his wallet. I mean, a young boy. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I thought, like last hour the pastor was saying, you know what makes this country great is the individuals. It's not one man or one leader or a dozen leaders. It's this, the citizenship. It's the people. And I needed that hope that I got, that I was standing there seeing these people giving when they didn't have it. And so, Semper Fi, Pastor.
Thank you, Semper Fi.
See, Linda's got something that even I don't have. She's married to a Marine.
There you go.
Well, and that's why Marines do what they do, is to protect people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She said something, which, and maybe it might be a little off topic, but it's really not. She said something. She said, I was encouraged by the hope that I saw. And when people believe in something, they will. They're going to dig down into their pockets. I've been out telling people about our mission society. I've been out to Minnesota, Ohio, Florida, and Texas. And here's the reoccurring theme in every single church that I've been in. They come up to me and they go, Pastor, we're a little bit behind in our offerings, etc. You know, and the truth is, you know, in a down economy, you know, the first place people cut back on
church
is the church. And now, here's the truth, and I hear this from everybody. And okay, what is it that God says? He said, "You feed them." Oh, but Jesus, we don't have enough here. What do you got? You got some bread? You got some fish? Tell you what, tell everybody sit down, and I'm going to feed them. We don't even do it. But when you believe, do we believe in this? And I tell you what, in a down economy, have you seen the casinos going up? They're going up everywhere. Do you see their parking lots empty? Do you see them crying and saying, oh, people just aren't coming in and throwing their money away? No, they are record profits in these casinos. The parking lots are packed because people believe, if it's a scary economy, I got to believe in something, so they believe in the casinos. Now, I'm going to be a little bit graphic, but there's some in East St. Louis. There's a Hustler Club, Club Hollywood, and Miss Kitty's right near where my church is, and I had to drive through every single Sunday to go over to my church, and I go by on a Saturday night. These places are packed. The economy hasn't affected any of those places because that's where their gods are. What do? We all of a sudden get scared. Maybe this God isn't as strong as what we thought. Maybe this God, my 401k isn't, you know, my retirement now, I'm a little afraid because my retirement fund has now taken a 60%, 40% decline, and I can't give money to the church because what's going to happen when I'm ready to retire? What does God say? I'll take care of you. The ultimate retirement is His. And then He says, then the righteous will answer Him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When the economy is bad, I can't help out as much as what I wanted to. But the amazing thing is, after church on Sunday, where does everybody go? The restaurants are still full. But we stopped believing in this awesome God. But when we start to do what the Lord tells us to do, which is to take care of the poor, the lowly, the meek, the humble, you go out and feed them. When we're doing what the Lord tells us to do...
Well, that may be another advantage that you have as a Marine, and that is your training puts you in a position where you don't forget what the mission is.
Yeah.
Once you've been given your orders, you understand your mission... You're not 7 days later going, well, what was that about? What was I supposed to do? I can't remember. That doesn't happen in the Marines, does it?
No, no. And it doesn't happen in God's Word also. He is so unbelievably specific. He is so... I go back to Old Testament where, you know, the offering system was put in place. And then later on in Scripture, God comes along and says, you know, those offerings are a stench in my nostrils. You know, stop with your festivals and stop even last week. Mm-hmm. What was it? Amos. And it says, woe to you if you think, the day of the Lord's going to be fun? I'm sorry. It's going to be darkness, not light. Because what you have made it into, you've made it into a ritual. You made it into all about you. You made it into, well, God must be happy with me when I'm sitting here in church. And I'm sorry, He's not. And He's saying, this is what I want. I want your heart. And when you worship, worship with your heart. Believe what you're being told. Do you believe it? And I tell you what, when people walk out of the sanctuaries, out of the churches, they're walking out going, well, that was nice, but that was okay, but we got reality here. You know, that's all right, Pastor. You preach about all that stuff, and we hear about a distant Jesus. We hear about a biblical Jesus, that was how many years ago? 2,000 years ago, He walked on this earth. No, I want to tell you about a real Jesus, one that is here today, walks with us today, makes the same exact promises.
505-7850-1-800-730-2727. Charles, you're on the Bible study.
Good morning, Chuck. And is it Pastor Wilkin?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Good morning, Pastor Wilkin.
Thank you.
First of all, I want to thank you for serving our country, and I would like to also just, from a grateful American, extend my gratitude to all the veterans and servicemen out there who are listening, and I'm very grateful to you. Question on, two questions, actually. Chuck just recently read a little bit about Matthew 25. We're talking about, at least an introduction into eschatology or end times. The last three Sundays of the church here deal with the end times. And I would like to ask you, Pastor, to, in lieu of the various interpretations of all denominations about end times, so you're talking about premillennium, postmillennium, all of millennium, pre-trib, rapture, and all that, I wondered if you'd define several points that determines the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's viewpoint towards amillennialism. In other words, if you had just a simple discussion with someone to define our position on several factors, please. And then secondly, I'd like you to talk a little bit about, if you have time, on Acts 1-8 ministry, the purpose, the goals, where do you function, how do you function, and so forth.
Good.
Thank you very much.
All right, thanks for the call.
Okay. I'm going to go right down to the bottom line. You know, instead of talking about amillennialism and premillennialism and the rapture, etc. Here's the truth. Scripture points to us, shows us that the end is coming. There's absolutely no doubt whatsoever it is coming because Jesus says, I'm coming back for you. That's the only unfulfilled promise in all of Scripture because it hasn't been fulfilled yet. But He says, I am coming back. It is so firm that this is going to happen. Let me tell you in a bunch of different ways. So you have people grabbing onto these interpretations of, well, this is how it's going to happen, and then we're going to be raptured up, and then people are going to be left here for 1,000 years, and then they're going to have to work out their salvation or whatever they have. And Scripture just says, I'm coming back. Now, it is going to happen, and here are some of the signs, you know, and we see some of the signs, wars, rumors of wars,
earthquakes.
Yeah, earthquakes, famine, fires. You just heard about the fire out in California, right, in the valley, million-dollar homes going up. And it gets really scary, and people start saying, oh, this has to be the end times. Oh, and it is. And it's been here since, let me see, Cain and Abel. There was a war. There was murder. that should have been a sign of the end. Well, it's been here. World War II, I asked people over the weekend, how many people survived World War II and they, you know, were alive during that time? And a bunch of people raised their hands and says, wasn't that a scary time? Didn't you think the Lord was coming? He had to be coming because it was an entire world just absolutely in chaos, killing each other. And they all nodded their head yes. And I said, but it didn't happen, did it? Not yet. But it is a sign of, be prepared. Don't sit there. What was it? The caller was asking me about Acts 1:8. Right after the verse Acts 1, chapter 8, and then Jesus is taken up into heaven, and the apostles all stand there looking up in heaven. Because he says, now go to Jerusalem and wait for the gift the Father has promised. And what do? They stand there, watch Jesus be taken up, and they stand there looking into the heavens. And then an angel has to come and say, excuse me, guys, this isn't what he told you to do. Go to Jerusalem, then they finally do, but they have to be reminded. Stop looking in the clouds. I'm coming back. The time and the hour is not known, but I am coming back. That's our stance. He is coming back. How all this is all going to be played out, I don't know. But I do know this, he says in the twinkling of an eye, it's all going to be changed. And we are going to be, and it's, I'm not going to go into all the scripture that we can, but here's the assurance. I'm coming back. I made a promise. I am coming back. Now, if it weren't so, I would have told you.
For those people who would like to hear an extensive discussion of that, if you go to KFUO.org, click on, which I had just done, so I confirm that it's there, and click on the Bible study option, and then go to the archives. Scroll down, you'll find Revelation right there at the bottom of the, and we have three programs. It looks on Revelation 20, broken up over 3 days, including the 1,000-year period described in verses 1 through 6 of Revelation 20 with Pastor Tom Hendrick. So I would like to say, in response to Charles's question, on behalf of the Bible study and our radio station as a whole, the marketplace of ideas as it pertains to religion, what is true, what is not true, is just jam-packed with all kinds of what we would call millennial views. And that's where we get the term millennial, from the 1,000 years of Revelation 20. And it sells a lot of books. A lot of preachers, a lot of authors have written about this. If you're going to hear, if you're going to come to the radio and hear the amillennial or amillennial view, I'm not sure you're going to hear it anywhere but here. And I'm going to just tell you, I don't know if this is a sin or not, but I'm proud to be able to say that that's what you will hear on this radio station, that the 1,000 years of Revelation 20 is not a literal period that's coming sometime after Jesus returns, but is a symbolic period that refers to the time between his ascension and that thing that you said over and over and over again, I am coming again. And when he comes again, and here's why it's important, and this is what I hear you saying, correct me if I'm wrong. After he comes, that's it.
Done.
Sheep and the goats.
That's it.
Bye-bye goats.
Matthew 25.
Sheep, you're in, and that's it. And we live forever with God.
Yeah.
And there isn't, you know, there's no premillennial, mid-trib, none of that. When he comes back, it's over.
It's over.
That's
done.
Yeah. And you know, that is so much more simple and so much more, I think, comforting. To just keep it on the level of that simplicity. Then you don't have to be wringing your hands over, well, what about this? And when is that going to happen? It's going to be a surprise. Nobody can tell you right now when that's going to happen. And when it happens, he comes back, that's it. No, you know, no 1,000 years of anything.
Now, don't you think that...
That's the amillennial position. and we're proud of it.
Yeah, but don't you think that before Jesus came the first time, don't you think that all the because the prophecies are being fulfilled and we're seeing it, and it's like, whoa, but don't you think there were a lot of misinterpretations of all that prophecy?
Of course.
Because when he came, people were so confused and they were so conflicted.
Otherwise,
and they were arguing.
Otherwise, they would have just said, hey, it's the Messiah.
That's
praise
it.
The Lord.
But oh, yeah. Right. Now, we have the same thing. And why is Revelation such a fascinating book? Why is it that people go back to Nostradamus and say, ooh, look at this. It was, you know, all
Edgar
these things.
Casey.
Are. Oh, yeah, because it hasn't happened yet, and it's encrypted, and it's not totally clear. Jesus comes along, tells the parables, why are you speaking in riddles to the people? And he says, no, I'm going to speak clearly to you. And when I do, your eyes are going to be open to it. And for me, Revelation is such a sweet book to be. It's promise. This is awesome stuff. Now I keep my eyes focused on this Jesus instead of looking at, whoa, what's this one horse supposed to be? And what about this over here? And, ooh, could that be? Oh, we had the red tide. The seas turning to blood. And, oh, here it comes. And, no, it's going to remind me of it, of Jesus' promise.
So I don't care if they find a red heifer or not.
So that's right.
Doesn't matter to me.
That's right. Yep, because Jesus' promise is that he's going to come back. That's all the rest of this book is all about Jesus. So when I read Revelation, I want to read about Jesus and his comfort and his promises, not things I make it into. So the caller had also asked, and I know we're getting short on time. Yeah. I don't know. How long do we go till?
We're going to go about another 7 minutes.
Ooh, 7 minutes.
You're going to have to cut your sermon in half.
Yeah, there
go
you
ahead.
Go.
Go right ahead.
In half? My goodness, it's 10%.
Okay.
They go long. Anyways, Acts 1-8 Mission Society asked about it, what our goal is, what our mission is. And it's always being re-clarified and becoming much more clear. What we do is we go into the urban areas, we renovate old and dying churches, and we turn them into ministry 7 days a week, and we do it with people that no one else wants, and usually with kids, and we do it ourselves as no one else wants to come and do it with us, because this is what the Lord has given to
so
us.
So does that mean you're gonna start interacting with people, or you're putting paint on the doors?
Oh,
you're
no.
Renovating the church. What do you mean?
People. It's absolutely people. We may put some paint on the walls and renovate, and we do it with the labor. People actually in the community see that there's something happening. This has happened 3 times now in St. Louis, and they see something happening, and all of a sudden they're coming by saying, hey, what are you guys doing here? And it's an opportunity to tell them. We don't just tell them, well, we're fixing up a building. No, what we're doing is we are here to comfort and to find
the
lost.
So is that kind of your version of visiting the sick and feeding the hungry? And maybe it's not exactly a one-to-one correlation to Matthew 25, but... falls under that heading, doesn't it?
A lot of people have been forgotten in the urban centers. And what is amazing is I just talked to some people out in the rural areas. And, you know, I find almost a one-to-one correlation there. I'm talking to guys that are trying to do ministry out in the rural areas, and they said, I have the exact same problems you do. We have drugs. We have single-parent homes. We have... parents actually abandoning their children being raised by grandparents.
Divorce, promiscuity.
You got it. And it, I mean, and we were always told out in the rural area, that's God's country.
Yeah,
oh, man, that's a
problem.
Oh, no. And it is just, it's exploding out there at an alarming rate. Here's the difference. Rural area, it's spread out. Urban area, it's all concentrated in one little area. We might be a block or 2 blocks or 10 blocks. Out there we're talking 10 square miles, 100 square miles, where these kids, same problems, same abandonment, and no one really cares about them. And they just turn a blind eye because we have our own problems, Pastor. We're out in the suburbs, and we got our own problems. You know, we're trying to raise $6 million for our new sanctuary. We're trying to raise 2.7 so we can build a new gym. And here we're trying to raise just, you know, a couple $100,000 just to reach people that are, have been left behind. And they're coming, though. That's the amazing thing. We open the doors, and the people are walking through the doors.
So that's your mission?
Yeah.
Those are your marching orders?
That's what the Lord gave us.
Do you have, is there a, you know, usually there is a mission goal.
Mm-hmm.
When you're a Marine, they say, okay, Gunnery Sergeant Wilkin, take that hill. Mm-hmm. Now you know what you're, you know, when, once you got the hill, you can look at your commanding officer and say, okay, we got the hill.
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean to take a hill in the ACTS-18 Mission Society?
Take on these buildings that used to be vibrant buildings and vibrant congregations that have dwindled down because the people around them have been replaced with people we don't understand. But yet those are people that are not like us, around us, that we have to find ways of reaching them. And so the marching orders the Lord has given us is to go in, and maybe we don't take over the buildings, maybe we help people to re-identify what they should be doing. How can we reach these hurting people?
You know, it kind of looks to me, I don't know what it looks like to you from your location on top of your hill over mm-hmm. there, like the world is winning.
Oh, yeah.
Like the Marines are are not doing too well. Are you frustrated?
I'm going to answer that both, yes and no. Okay, the frustration.
I'm used to that answer, by the way.
Yeah, I know. The frustration is you go out and tell people, and they get a scared response. But then the comfort comes in Gideon, who went out and said, if you're afraid, go home. And what, 30,000 men walk away from him? And they all go home, and he's left with 20,000. Then he says, ah, if you're going to, you know, let's go down to the creek. And if you're going to lap it up like a dog, go home. And now he's left with 300 men. And then the Lord comes to him and says, if you're still scared, go up by the enemy's encampment, and I'm going to give you some encouragement. So Gideon goes up there, so he's still scared. We still are frustrated. We're still human. But here's the comfort is God's going to do it. So as scared as I get and as petrified as I get, actually I praise God that I do because I know it's him. Because if I think, because I was a Marine, I can do this, he humbles me. And then there's little kids that actually encourage me and lift me up and say, well, we can do this when I'm ready to give up. Yeah.
Little
yeah.
kids. Thank God for the little kids.
But if the caller is interested, we're at 1126 South Kings Highway. There's a church, big white cross on the top of it, and stop by anytime.
And if I want to send a donation, where do I send a donation? Something tells me somebody wants to do that.
Oh, let me see. You can send a donation to 1126 South Kings Highway, ACTS-18 Mission Society. Or you can call me directly, or you can email me, Randall, R-A-N-D-A-L-L, period, Wilken, W-I-L-K-E-N, @gmail.com.
Simple enough.
Mm-hmm.
God's blessings to you and your work.
Well, thank you.
I salute you, sir.
Well, thank you. Semper Pi to you.
And that's our Ask the Pastor Bible study with Pastor Randy Wilken. Thanks for listening. Thanks for the phone calls.
Listen to Chuck Rather and guests Monday through Friday at the same time on The Bible Study. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for The Bible Study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the internet at kfuo.org. For a free copy of The Bible Study, please visit the audio archive section of our homepage. That's kfuo.org. The Bible Study is a broadcast service of Worldwide KFUO.